Let's join together. Heavenly Father, we ask you for fresh bread today, fresh manna from heaven, to nourish us, to strengthen us, to satisfy us, but Lord, to also to correct us and to bring us into alignment, into agreement with your will and your ways, Lord. Lead us today by your Holy Spirit. Father, deliver every captive in this house today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, the title of this morning's message, and it's a 12-page message. I want to ask that everybody bear with me. Be patient today. Amen. Don't try to rush the Holy Spirit. All right? We don't want to get ahead of God, and we don't want to lag behind, but we do want to stay with Him. Amen? We want to stay in His flow, if you will. That word flow, by the way, is the rabbis used to use that when they would explain how it was to be moved by the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God would breathe on them and they would be led, they called it being in the flow. And it's something we use today as well. We need to get in the flow with God. And if you're not in the flow, don't do anything. Amen? Wait until you're in the flow with God, because God wants to do it. Amen? We can't do what only God can do. You know, you can't change anybody's heart, but God can. But if we're in the flow, God will work through us, amen, to touch and reach other people. So it's about moving in the Spirit, walking. Holy men of God were moved by the Spirit, it says, when they wrote the Scriptures. God breathed this word, amen? Because you've heard it said before, but you cannot see words with your eye, amen? You cannot put words in a test tube and observe them, because words are spiritual. And so God chose the preaching of the word, amen, to save the lost. And so if we're hearing from God and we're speaking what He's speaking, there will be an impartation of life, amen, because God imparts from His Spirit to our spirit. And so when you have connected with Him in the Spirit, you have connected with life. Revival is not an event. Revival is a state of being alive in Him, of being connected, revive, right? To return to life is to be revived. So sometimes we think of revival as this thing that we do or the service that we attend. But actually, revival is you personally connected to Him who is life. And when you as an individual are connected to the vine, Jesus Christ, and you are in life, then when we come together corporately, we have an explosion of life. And that's what's happening. Amen. And God wants to set us free from any of those things that would choke us from being a full expression of Himself through us. Does that make sense? You cannot fill a cup if it's already got garbage in it. Amen. You got to get the garbage out so it can be filled. And so that's what God is going to do today. And you know what? God is working in me. Amen. He's working in every one of us here. Aren't you glad? Amen. Has anybody here arrived yet? Okay, good. So we're in good company. We're here to be taught, right? And to learn from the Lord. And Father, thank you for giving me again the words to speak today in Jesus' name. The name of this message this morning is Let's Settle This. Let's Settle This. We are in a war. We are in a battle. And in this battle, you cannot be passive. You cannot be neutral in a battle. You must be engaging, amen? And you must also be alert. You must be mindful, amen, that at any time you could come under attack. And so God is saying to His church, awake, be vigilant, amen? Be alert. Because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, is seeking whom he may devour. And we need to resist him steadfast. Amen? Resist him steadfast in the faith, trusting in the Lord. God does not want His church to be sickly, to be weak, to be powerless, to be defeated. God wants His people, His church, to be fully empowered by Him. Fully enabled by Him. Fully walking in the victory that Christ has accomplished. God wants us walking in our authority, knowing who we are in Christ. God wants us destroying the works of the devil. Amen? Not collaborating with the devil. Not playing patty cake with the devil. But God wants us defeating, amen, the devil. And we can only do that by the power and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You and I don't have enough wisdom, enough wit. You can't outsmart him. You can't outtalk him. You can't outrun him. He'll track you down and he'll mess you up. Amen? But if you're clothed in Jesus Christ, you have the armor of God on, amen, and you have the sword of the Spirit in your hand, you are a foe, amen, to him. You are someone to reckon with. Jesus is the one who supplies all of our needs. He has all that we require to live in victory, to overcome the world. Everything that we have need of is available in Jesus Christ. There is no reason why any believer in Jesus should be defeated. I'm going to say it again because I didn't get much of a response. There is no reason why any believer or follower of Jesus Christ should ever be defeated in their life.
Amen. Hallelujah.
There's times when we get knocked down, but we don't stay down. Amen? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So Jesus is the one who will supply the grace that we need. And what God wants us to do is learn how to depend upon him and not upon ourselves anymore. Depend upon his ability and not our ability. We're all strong, amen, in ourselves. We're born with a stubborn, rebellious nature. And we want to be our own God. And we don't want anybody to rule over us or tell us what to do. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. That is the way we're born. Amen. You find that out very quickly, right, when you have a child. That child, as long as they can hold their head up, they're already rebelling against you, right? Some of you ladies know what I'm talking about too, right? They'll even bite up, get a hold of you, right? And so Jesus wants us to trust fully in his grace. And in order for that to happen, there has to be a relinquishing of the rights of ownership. We have to relinquish our rights of self-ownership. Oh, we don't want to hear that. I want to be my own God. I want to control my own destiny. I don't want to answer to anybody. I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. I did it my way. That's a foolish way. I did a lot of things my way. How many know what I'm talking about? We have a witness here. You did a lot of things your way. Where did that get you? Did that work for you? How about 2 Peter 1:3? As his divine power, dunamis, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given to us how many things? Through the knowledge of him. Do you understand? The devil does not want you to learn of the Lord. Why? Because in the areas of our ignorance, he can mess us up. We can think that we're doing all right. There is a way that seems right unto a man. I'm doing fine right now. I'm having a good day. Everything's going my way. You know, we've all been in that place of self-confidence, self-reliance, self-me, self-mind. It's all about me, you know. Even coming to church is, what can I get out of it? It's all about me, you know. No, it's not. It's all about Jesus. And it's you and I just saying, Jesus, how can I love you back for all you did for me? I'm here to serve you. Amen. I'm here to serve my brother and my sister. So his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through what? The knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. How many have heard that saying, what you don't know can hurt you? So the enemy wants to keep you blind. He wants to keep you ignorant of what is true. What is true means that which is authentic. That which is real. He doesn't want you to know what is real. He wants to keep you in deception. He wants you to believe a lie as though it were truth. Has anybody ever been self-deceived before? We all have. We've all believed something that we might have heard, only to find out later on that it wasn't true. You know, just because I have a thought doesn't mean it's right. Well, it's got to be God because I heard it. You hear some people going around say, God told me, God told me. And they're like, no, that doesn't agree with his word and his character. I'm sorry, God didn't tell you to do that. Amen? You're just hearing your own voice or you're hearing that other voice. So we need to know what is true so that we can avoid the snares or the traps of our adversary. And so we need the word of God. The word of God brings light. The entrance of the word brings light. Amen? And where there's light, the cockroaches have to leave. I lived in Georgia for a while, man. I remember coming in the middle of the night, going down to grab a midnight snack and hitting the light and... Yeah, some of you know what I'm talking about. That's why they have those little boxes they call roach traps, you know. See, that's our responsibility is to set out those traps for the devil, amen? We're to bind him up and cast him out in Jesus' name. But John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Remember that word abundantly means superabundant in quantity and superior in quality. Jesus said, I have come to give you life. And that life means superabundant in quantity and superior in quality. How many have discovered that life with Jesus is superior? Amen. It's so much better than the life that I thought I was living. I thought I was living it up. I was having a good time, but payday comes. Amen. The next morning you get up and you're worshiping the porcelain God. And oh, no, I was really living it up last night, but I'm paying the piper today. It ain't worth it, is it? I mean, that's not how God does things. God gives you super abundant. Amen. And superior quality of life. And the devil is the thief. Amen. How many know that God doesn't send stress? He doesn't put stress on you. How many know that God doesn't put depression on you? That's the enemy, right? Now, in order to possess this kind of abundant life, I want you to tune in just for a minute here. Well, maybe more than a minute. Number one. Are you ready? Do you want to possess this kind of life? How many already possess it? That's all? Maybe you possess it, but you don't realize what you have. See, that's the renewing of the mind. That's through the knowledge of Him we come to understand who we are and what is freely given to us in Christ. We must, number one, forsake our own ways and be willing to follow in His ways. How many have found that to be an easy thing to do? Number two, we must be willing to forsake this present world and its lusts to have the superior life of God. Number three, we must renounce Satan and have nothing, zero, to do with him. See, the reason why many people are never set free and are continually bound is because they play with sin. They play with the devil. They compromise. Oh, just give me a little bit. That's all he asks. He's like that salesman, you know. Just let me get my foot in the door. Before you know it, you're buying something you don't want. It might have looked good at the time, but later on you say, what did I just do? Come on. Don't open the door. Give no place to the devil. Amen? Number four, we must deny ownership of our own lives. We must deny ownership of our own lives and allow Jesus Christ to be Lord and Master of our lives. How many are here today and say, you know what? I want that superior life of God. I want the abundant life that Jesus promised. How many are willing to give it all to God? I'm talking about everything you have, everything you are, to lay it down at the altar and say, God, it's all yours now. You decide now what I take. You decide where I go, what I do, what I say. How many want superior life? How many want to know a joy unspeakable and full of glory? How many want to know a perfect love where there is no torment of fear? It's in the superior life of an abandoned life to Jesus, a surrendered life to Jesus Christ is where it comes. It's where it happens. You'll never regret surrendering to Christ. See, the enemy says, well, let's just strike a deal here. Let's kind of meet halfway. You know what I'm saying? Let's meet halfway here. We'll just kind of give and take a little bit. Yeah, I'm willing to give that up. But over here, no, I don't think so. That's a bit much, God. And the devil says, because it's in the area where you're unwilling to surrender that the enemy says, come on, boys, over here. We have a foothold. It's called a stronghold. Wherever there is sympathy for the devil will camp out. And you may not even know that you're under the delusion of the enemy. You may not even know about that stronghold until the Spirit of God begins to turn light on and reveal it to you. Amen. You know, Jesus talked to the Pharisees and he says, you know, you guys are those who justify yourselves. You justify yourself. You make excuses for what you do. But he said, those who justify themselves are an abomination to God. When God turns the light on, when he gives you truth, when he gives you reality, and you refuse that light, God says that's an abomination. Because what you're doing is you're actually rejecting him for having access to your life. You're refusing to allow God to have you. And Jesus says, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. Do you understand? The Christian life is not a patch job. It's not a halfway in, halfway out. The Christian life is a surrendered life to God and his lordship. And when you're in surrender, there is life and life abundantly. There is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh yes, it's good. Life is good where? In the God zone. Now, Isaiah the prophet, God gave him a vision concerning Jerusalem. And when he was showing it to him, it was as if he was already there, watching it happen. And it was concerning the daughter of Zion. And that is Jerusalem. And they were devastated by their enemies. But God spared a small remnant. Otherwise, he says, you guys, if I hadn't spared a small remnant, you would have been as Sodom and Gomorrah. That means a complete annihilation. So God was pleading with the people of Isaiah's day, just like the Holy Spirit today is pleading with you and me to cooperate with him, to listen to him, to believe him, to believe it when he says, I have come that you might have life. But you have to be willing to forsake your way in order to come into my way. You have to be done with yourself before you're ready for Jesus Christ. You understand? There are a lot of people who say these salvation prayers, but they're not surrendering their life to Jesus. They just think that I said this prayer and that gives me a ticket to heaven. They don't understand that what God is requiring is that we would be through with our lives and our ways, that we might join him and his mission. Jesus died and shed his blood on that cross, amen, for the redemption of mankind, that people can be saved, that people can be delivered. And he's not saying, you know, just say the sinner's prayer and go ahead and live your own life and do whatever you want. He's saying, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That means disown. Disown yourself. You're no longer under your own management. But does that part of you, even when you hear me say this, that wants to leap out of here and say, oh, that ain't for me? See, that's the part that has to die. The part that says, I don't want to die, I don't want to give up my life, is the part that has to die. Sometimes our flesh is stronger than we realize. Our flesh fights. It doesn't want to surrender. But in the areas where we are not surrendered, the enemy can continue to work and bring destruction. You see, Jesus doesn't want you destroyed. He wants you saved. Amen. Amen? And it requires a full surrender to Him. To fully trust the Lord is what it means. To whosoever believeth in Him. That means puts their full trust in Him. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God came to set us free from ourselves. And once you're free from yourself, then the enemy has no more legal right to you. Isaiah 1:16, the Lord told him this. Listen, guys. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Verse 18, come now and let us reason together. Says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If, verse 19, you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God is telling Israel, listen, guys. We need to cooperate here. You guys need to cooperate with me in this. I want to bless you. I've called you to be a kingdom of priests and to represent my name and my honor to the world around you. But we've got to come into agreement here. You've got to listen to my voice. If you're willing and you obey me, you shall eat the good of the land. What is he saying? He's saying, if you're willing to cooperate with me and to listen to my voice, then you will partake of my divine presence. You'll partake of Christ. You'll have life. See, we think about the land, and often we're just thinking about houses and land and natural things. But God is saying something. There's something much more valuable here at stake. It's your eternal soul, first of all. And secondly, God wants to give you His life, His superior life, the impartation. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But then listen to what He says. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. In other words, if we fail to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and listen to God, then it will mean further destruction in your life. How many are sick and tired of the destruction? How many know that God wants to restore your life, not destroy your life? Are you willing to listen to Him? Are you willing to do it His way now? That's what repentance is. I've made up my mind. No longer me. No longer my way. Lord, I'm willing to go with You. How many know that God is still the same? Same God that spoke to Isaiah, amen, is the same God today, the same Jesus. And because he's holy, he will not tolerate sin in his people. He's called us out of darkness. We have no business having anything to do with darkness anymore. Anything to do with it. Hello? We are not called, amen, to live in the world and to live in the kingdom. Our kingdom is not of this world, just like Jesus. He told them, guys, my kingdom is not of this world. You guys are all just preoccupied with your, you know, what you're doing here. He says, I'm living according to my Father's rule. Amen? I'm in my Father's house. I'm listening to my Father's voice. I'm doing what my Father tells me to do. I do what He tells me to do. I go where He sends me. I speak what He tells me to speak. Amen? And then He says, guys, listen, I have given you an example through my life and my character. Amen? This is how you do it. This is how it works. You want superior life? You want to find your life? Then lose it. Give it up. Give it to God. How many are willing to do that today? That was weak. How many know what I'm talking about today is the truth? Okay, amen. Thank you, Jesus. And so God wants us out of darkness. And that's why He's telling us, guys, you got to be on your guard. You got to be careful because of your adversary. He only wants to destroy you. He wants to steal from you. That's what's been happening, man. You know, it's the devil. You know, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do innocent people suffer? Because there's a real devil. And because God has given you and I freedom of choice. We can choose, folks. You can't force righteousness. God says, I want you to love me, but I can't force you to love me. I want you to understand how much I love you. How much I love you. I gave myself for you. Now I want you to come to me, amen, that you can have life now. But you got to be willing to die to the old way so you can walk in the new life. Amen. I would have never imagined that I would be preaching the gospel today. Farthest thing from my mind. I was just party animal, you know. Live for today. You know, yeah. And then God set me free. And I'm like, man, that stuff is inferior. I don't need the inferior stuff of the world. Amen. I don't need to drink Budweiser or, you know, MD 2020. Nobody needs to drink that. We need to dine at His table. Drink. He serves the best wine. When He turned the water into wine, they said, Jesus, they always bring out, you know, the good stuff at in the beginning, and then when people's tongues are getting numb from it, they bring out the cheap stuff. He says, oh. He says, but you save the best for last. How many know that God has the best for last? Yeah. Many that are last will be first. How many know that you don't need the inferior stuff of this world when you can come into His presence and you can dine at His table and you can delight yourself in the Lord and you can find a joy and a high and an ecstasy in the Lord that far surpasses any temporary high this world will give you. Yeah. The problem is that we don't want to give up our lives so we can have that superior life. The problem is we've got too much junk on the inside, amen, that's conflicting and choking out the life. You understand? God will only have you to the degree that you're willing to give yourself to Him. God will only have you to the degree that you're willing to give yourself to Him. And yield yourself to Him. You understand? He doesn't say, get out of the way, I'm taking over. He says, guys, let's reason together. Let's settle this thing. You understand that your way has made a mess of things. I've got a better way. I love you. And I want to reveal myself to you, and I want to give you my life, my superior life. So God pleads with us. Because He loves us and He wants to redeem us. Now the Living Translation says this in Isaiah 1:18. He says, come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. You know, scarlet was like a fixed color. It was a stain that once a garment had been stained with scarlet, there is no way you could get that stain out. No amount of wearing or rain or soaking or washing was going to get that stain out of there. He said, guys, that's the condition of the human heart. That's what it's like. Sin stains you so deeply and so permanently that you can never deal with it on your own. There's no way you can solve the sin problem in your life. There's no way you can deal with a guilt problem in your life. I don't care. Some people, they keep the music up all night long. They keep media blasting 24/7. Some people tune out, they get stoned or drunk so that they don't have to face the reality of their own soul screaming out. And God says, listen, there's nothing you can do. You can mask it, but you can't get rid of it. You can't get rid of that guilt. You can't get rid of that shame. You can't get rid of those thoughts that keep coming back and plaguing you and reminding you of the things that have happened to you in your past and the things that others have done or said to you and the bad tragedies of your life. You can't even get rid of those things. You can't get over those things. And God says, listen, I'm here to set you free today. I'm here to remove your guilt. I'm here to remove your shame. I'm here to set you free. I'm here to give you my superior life. Do you want His life? I want you, Jesus, more than anything. No self-help efforts of man. No external religious rituals, amen, that people do. No tears, even. No sacrifices. No prayers are going to be able to deal with the sin problem. It requires an almighty power. The sin problem requires an almighty power. And that power is the blood of Jesus Christ. To break every stain, amen? To break every curse. To blot out every transgression, right? To purge every iniquity. To make us clean. He said, listen, it's so bad, but listen, I can make it white again. Isn't it interesting that he also goes on to say that though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, I don't believe that the Lord put wool in there for no reason. And I got to thinking about this. Now, where does wool come from? Come from sheep. Amen? And God's people are likened to sheep. How many know that there are times when we get stuff on us? Amen? Our wool gets stained. And God says, if you cooperate, if you're willing and obedient, I'm willing to remove those things too. I will cleanse you from those things. I will make that which was tainted white as wool again. Even though your sins appear, you know, I will blot them out. God wants to completely free us from those things. So you have to understand that when we read these things, even in the Old Testament, there is a present day application. As now we interpret it by the heart of God, by the Spirit, and how we can apply it to our lives. That Jesus doesn't want His people any longer walking around in fear, guilt, or shame. It's time to get it right. Let's settle it. Let's settle it today. If you're willing to come on His terms, He says, I will remove your sins. He wants to share His kingdom with you. And He says, I'm going to allow you to come into my presence and dine at my table. Yep, your enemies, all they can do is watch. Psalms 23. He prepares a table before us where? In the presence of our enemies. Hallelujah. I'm with Jesus. I don't know. You guys get out of here. I'm not even paying attention to you anymore. I'm with Jesus. Amen. Jesus and I are having communion here. How many know it's safe with Jesus? How many know the devil can't mess with you if you're in His presence? I want you to hear this. This is John 3:16 in the Amplified. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that He even gave up His only begotten unique Son so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on Him. That's what that word really means. It's not, I believe. A lot of the devil believes. The demons believe and tremble. Amen. It's not talking about an intellectual understanding and say, yeah, I believe that. I must be saved because I believe in Jesus. No, He says, those who believe in Me, trust in, cling to, rely on, him shall not perish. Those who are done with their ways, those who have taken up their cross to follow Jesus, those who have surrendered their life and come under new ownership, and now he is master, he is Lord of my life, I'm no longer on the throne of my life. People that live in that place live in the security of the Most High God. Do you understand? When you abide in him, the devil can't touch you. If the devil's beating up on you, it may be, it just may be, that you've got an open door somewhere. Something that you're not cooperating with God about. Now, with this pardon, there comes divine benefits. When we've been pardoned, there's healing. Hallelujah. Amen? There's deliverance. Psalms 103:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How many want their youth to be renewed like the eagles? That's what the Lord promises. That's what the Lord will give you. Isaiah 40, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. We're not pimping around in the barnyard, amen? We're soaring on wings as eagles. Isaiah 53:3. Jesus says, this is speaking of him, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, anguish, grief, and pain. Is that word sorrows? He's a man that was had anguish, grief, and pain, and was acquainted with grief. That word grief means malady, anxiety, calamity, disease, and sickness. He was acquainted with these things. Yes, Jesus was. He tasted this life. He understands what we deal with, what we face. He was acquainted with this grief, this malady, anxiety. Understand this, folks. Disease and sickness. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. But look at verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs. Carried them. Amen? Maladies, anxieties, calamities, diseases, and sicknesses were placed where? On Jesus Christ. And he carried our sorrows. He carried our anguish, our grief, and our pain. Jesus carried that for us so we could be free. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm going to get the tape. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But, verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions, our rebellion. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. That word iniquities means our perversity, our evil, or our sin. And the chastisement for our peace, the punishment of our peace, was upon him by his stripes. It also means bruises. He was beaten so badly that he was bruised. We are mended, cured, repaired, made whole. By his stripes, we are mended, cured, repaired, made whole. By his stripes, we are mended, cured, repaired, made whole. By his stripes, we are mended, cured, repaired, made whole. Does God want you to receive freedom today? Does God want you to be healed today? That's the word of God. The Lord Jesus wants his people fully free. Fully empowered by the Spirit, walking in their authority, destroying the works of the devil in their lives, their homes, and even in their community. One of the lies is the devil. I want you to hear this, folks. Is the devil wants to convince you and I, hear me, that it's okay to stay bound. It's okay for you just to be stuck in that habit or that thing. You don't like it. You don't want it. When you've tried and you haven't been able to overcome it, and the devil comes along and says, well, you're just going to have to accept this the way it is. You can't be free. How many know he's a liar? God does not want you and I bound by anything. Nothing. He wants us free. Free indeed. So one of the big lies that he comes against you and I with is that you can't be free. You can't be free from your sickness. You can't be free from your pain. You can't be free from your habit or your addiction. It's time to get mad at the devil. It's time for the warrior in you and I to rise up and say, no more. Let's settle this thing. God is with me. God is for me. He's not against me. God has given me divine exousia. He's given me divine authority. He's given me power by the Spirit, amen, to destroy the works of the devil in my life beginning. And in my family, in my home, I refuse to let the devil have my home anymore. Amen. It's time for men, fathers, mothers to rise up in their home and say, no more, devil. We claim this place for Jesus. This is His territory. You're not welcome here. Get out in Jesus' name. It's time that we settle this thing, that we fight back, that we take back what the devil's stolen from us. We get mad at the devil. See, he wants to get you and I to justify ourselves in our current situation. Well, it's not all that bad, is it? How many know that everything starts with a seed? How many know just a little sin seed can grow into an ugly bush and choke out your life? How many know that God says, get it at the root? Get it out. Get it out. God wants to set you free today. We can do this through repentance, obedience, and warfare. Through repentance, obedience, and then warfare. Submit yourself to God first. Then resist the devil. And he will do what? He will flee. Jesus, we thank you today for your word. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow them who believe in me. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. How many know that Jesus isn't telling his church to go around picking up rattlesnakes? Amen. He's telling them, I'm giving you authority. Amen. I'm giving you authority over the enemy. Just like Moses. Amen. He cast his rod down. Amen. And his rod swallowed the magician's rods. God's saying, my power is greater than the power of the devil. My authority, amen, is over all. And I'm giving you the authority in my name to deal with these things and to cast these demons out. Hallelujah. Now I want to ask you one more question today. And I don't want anybody running out the door after I ask you this, but I want to tell you it's a serious question. We need to really discover this and think about it and ask the Holy Spirit if there's truth in this. Can a Christian have a demon? Can a Christian have demons? Okay, now, can a Christian be demon-possessed? Well, no, because if Christ is in you, then your spirit is His. Amen? But in the soulish realm, amen, in the mind, the will, and the emotions, and in the physical body, demons can infest you if you have been yielding yourself to sin. Or even if you have, by no choice of your own, been born into a situation where something had been transferred down through the generations prior to you, even through mothers and fathers. We're seeing that with, amen, with babies born, crack babies, or babies born to meth. Amen. No fault of their own. But sometimes, folks, even through fornication and sexual sin, demons have infested people. And even Christians sometimes have these things that are plaguing them, that are tormenting them. And God wants you free today. Do you know what? You can walk out of here free completely. To be free indeed today. How many are here to say, you know what? I want to be free. I don't want any of these ugly buggers in me anymore, amen? Well, guess what? We're going to take authority today. I'm going to do something a little different today. When Jesus sent out the 12, remember, he sent them out to heal, amen? And to cast out demons, to cleanse lepers, even to raise the dead. When Jesus departed, he spoke and gave instructions to his disciples. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Go ye therefore. What? In his authority. He says, all authority has been given to me. And I'm delegating authority now to the church. Now, it wasn't just for the 12. Why? Because Jesus later sent out 70 others. And when he sent out the 70, this is what he said. Behold, I give you authority. Everybody say authority. To trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power or dunamis of the enemy. Remember that word dunamis is the same word used in Acts 1:8. When you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive God's power. Amen. How many know that the devil has power, but it is usurped power because of people yielding to him and allowing him to have access? And what we need to do is, if you want to be free today, you're going to have to be completely honest with God. You can't. How many know there are no secrets with God anyways? But you're going to have to be completely honest with God. And you're going to have to be willing just to go through a little time, and a little process right now, so you can be free. Are you willing to do that? God wants to set you free today. God wants his people free of infestation. Demonic infestation. And sometimes, folks, not every time, but sometimes the reason why people are sick in their body is because of demons, because of spirits, bad spirits. And if you cast the spirit out, the healing is automatic. Other times, Jesus cured people. Amen. He just healed people. But there was times like the epileptic boy that fell in the fire. Amen. That Jesus cast the demon out of the boy. Now, just because you have epilepsy doesn't necessarily mean you have a demon. But I do know this, that they're real and they infest people, and God wants you to be free today from those things. But you're going to have to do one thing. You're going to have to be honest. You're going to have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you're going to have to join me together in this. Amen. Let's do this thing together. All right. Let's do it as a family. Don't be surprised if something unusual happens to you while we go through this. Amen. Don't be afraid. God says, don't fear. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. The Lord will protect you. He says, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, somebody say nothing,
nothing.
Shall by any means hurt you. So we are not to be afraid. Amen? God says, do not fear your adversary. Do not be afraid. Amen? Because greater is he that's in you. And you know you can deliver yourself too by cooperating together. Now, I copied down something from Derek Prince that he has used all over the world. Okay? And there's 9 steps here. And it's a prayer of deliverance. And we're going to rely on the Holy Spirit to pinpoint the areas where the enemy has set up camp in our lives. Now, I believe that everybody here is going to receive a benefit today from this prayer. If you come by faith, how many believe that God is able to set you free? How many are willing? Okay. I want to ask you, please, to bow your head for a moment. And while this is going on, I'm asking that no one will look around, that every one of us will completely yield ourselves to Jesus Christ and trust the Lord for this. The first step. To your freedom is that you must receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You must allow him to be master of your life. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want everybody, please, to pray together with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you died on the cross for my sins, that you shed your blood so I could be forgiven. So the debt could be canceled. So that I could have a clean life. And so that you could come and dwell within me. Lord, I acknowledge today that I am a sinner. And I have sinned against you. And I ask you today to please forgive me for all of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, I choose you as my Lord and as my Savior. Satan, I renounce you. I want nothing more to do with you. Get out of my life. I'm under new ownership. Jesus is Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you are the Son of God and the only way to God, that you died on the cross for my sins and rose again so that I might be forgiven and receive eternal life. Now we need to humble ourselves. I renounce all pride, religious self-righteousness, and any dignity that does not come from you. I have no claim on your mercy except that you died in my place. And I want you to take a moment right now to confess before the Lord specifically any known sins. I confess all my sins before you, and I hold nothing back. Especially I confess. Now I want you just to begin to confess those things before the Lord. It's nobody's business. It's just between you and Jesus right now. But the Bible says very clearly, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Repent of all sins. And right now, I bind any demon in this room right now that would cause confusion or distraction in the name of Jesus Christ. Bind you up right now. I want you to repeat after me. I repent of all my sins. I turn away from them. And I turn to you, Lord, for mercy and forgiveness. Now you've got to forgive other people. You've got to do this in order to receive your freedom. It doesn't matter what they did. You've got to forgive them. By a decision of my will, I freely forgive all who have ever harmed or wronged me. I lay down all bitterness, all resentment, and all hatred. Specifically, I forgive. Now begin to speak the names of those who have hurt you, who have offended you, and those that you're holding grudges against or harboring any type of bitterness or anger towards. I want you to speak their name right now, and I want you to release them. In the name of Jesus Christ, do it. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I release you, and then speak the name. I cancel the debt. You owe me nothing. You're free to go. Lord, I receive my forgiveness today. There's somebody else. Now name them. Just let them go right now. Take a moment just to let them go. I forgive you. Speak to that person right now. Say, I forgive you in Jesus' name. You owe me nothing. The debt has been canceled. Somebody else says, God is bringing pictures. He's bringing people to you right now. Let them go. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I forgive you. I let you go. I release you. And Father, thank you for forgiving me. Just take another moment. Don't be in a hurry. Say, Lord, Holy Spirit, is there anybody else? Just pray. Just speak the name. Let them go right now. Speak it out. Let it go. I forgive you in Jesus' name. And then you can receive your forgiveness. Now what we're going to do is we're going to break with the occult and all false religion. Say after me, please. I sever all contact I have ever had with the occult or with all false religion. I renounce fortune telling, Dungeons and Dragons, Ouija board, all manner of witchcraft, Satanism, shamanism. I renounce all these things. Now God is going to show you some other things that I didn't mention right now. Another one is good luck charms. Yoga is another one. It's Hindu. Hinduism is sun god worship, whether you realize it or not. If you've been involved with yoga, you need to renounce that right now. I renounce yoga in the name of Jesus. I sever all contact with these things. Reiki. I renounce Reiki. All New Age worship, I renounce. Transcendental meditation, I renounce it in Jesus' name. Consulting the dead, I renounce it in Jesus' name. Just renounce it right where you're at. You ever been in a seance? Renounce that right now. I renounce those things. Praying to ancestors. I renounce praying to ancestors right now in Jesus' name. God will bring it to your remembrance. Just ask Him. Dirty movies. Pornography. I renounce it in Jesus' name. Books, magazines, all that stuff. I sever all ties, all connections to these things. See, if you don't break off these legal accesses, then you can't be free. You've got to renounce these things. And I'm just going to lead us in a general prayer right now. Say, I renounce all association with the occult, with Satan worship, and all forms of witchcraft. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now we're going to take authority. Amen. Take your stand with God. Say, I take my stand with you, Lord, against all Satan's demons. I submit to you, Lord. I resist the devil. Amen. Now it's time to take authority. Are you ready? Now say, now I speak to any demons that have control over me. I command you to go from me now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I expel you. And every time you experience something leave you, give praise to God. Amen for it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to get down to the root to some things right now. And we command every spirit of fear, of trauma, of torment, in the name of Jesus, we command you to come out right now. Come out in Jesus' name. You may experience some coughing. You may breathe something out. Who knows? Just yield to the Lord right now. Believe God for your freedom. Hallelujah. I command all spirits of depression and oppression to get out. Come out in Jesus' name. Just wait on the Lord. All spirits of sexual perversion, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirit of masturbation, come out in the name of Jesus. I command every binding spirit, every mute spirit, to come out in Jesus' name. Get out in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. I command every spirit of night tremors, of nightmares, come out in Jesus' name. Get out. I command the spirits that would cause insanity, come out in Jesus' name. Get out in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. God has given me a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. I command the spirits of arrogant pride to come out in Jesus' name. I speak to any spirit that has been passed down through my family lineage, any generational spirits. I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out! Just feel it, don't you? Thank you, Lord. Every spirit that brings a curse, I command you to go. In Jesus' name, get out! Spirit of infirmity, I command you to go. In Jesus' name. Spirit of poverty, I command you to go. In Jesus' name. Spirits of gossip, I command you to go. In Jesus' name. And this may sound a little unusual, but let's do this too. Spirit of cancer, I command you to go. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come up and get out. In Jesus' name. Father, right now I pray the fire of God right now to come down upon the head of every unclean spirit, every demonic spirit that might be lingering or hiding. The spirits that are in hiding, we command you in the name of Jesus, come up and manifest and get out right now. In Jesus' name, go! Spirits of incest, get out in the name of Jesus. Come out now in Jesus' name. You're not going to understand everything that's said today, but I want to say one more thing. Any spirit of pedophilia, child molestation, I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out! Some of you have been dealing with anxiety, and we're just going to do this one more time. Spirit of anxiety, in the name of Jesus Christ, we command you now, get out! And I'm even going to go this far with it today, folks. I'm going to say, spirit of unbelief, I command you to go. In the name of Jesus Christ, come up and get out. Spirit of adultery, I command you to go. In the name of Jesus Christ, get out. Jesus said, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, he goes through dry places and he seeks refuge or a place to stay. And he may return, and if he finds the house swept and clean but empty, he will go and take with him seven more wicked than himself. And the latter end of that man will be worse than the beginning. So what needs to happen is you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Where there were once these spirits, now you need to give room and access for the Holy Spirit to fill you. So let's pray together for that right now. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you have sent your Son. Jesus, I thank you that you have died for me and you rose for me. And you ascended into heaven. And you received the promise from the Father. The blessed Holy Spirit. I ask you, Lord, today to baptize me with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Fill my life, Lord. Fill every empty void with your grace and your mercy. Holy Spirit, I invite you. I welcome you. Saturate me, fill me to overflowing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I believe that I have received a prayer language, a tongue that I never learned. And right now, by faith, I will pray in the Holy Ghost. And all across this place, I want you to begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in a language you've never learned. Let it come right up out of your belly, right from your heart. And give praise to God. Give praise to God. Give praise to God in this house. Give thanks to the Lord for what He's done. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just let it erupt. Let that praise erupt right now. Praise to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Father, we praise you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, O come, and fill me now. Fill me now. Fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, O come, and fill me now. Thank you, Jesus. Light a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Light a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Light a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.